So when he talks about this congestion, it can also be likened again to that little snow globe or the jar with water that is allowed to settle. Or another image that I like so much is that of a mirror. Or your windows. Have you ever noticed when you clean your windows how things just seem so much brighter? It's like that. It's like clearing away that, you know? It's like, wow, it is really light in here, you know?
I can't believe you have Venetian blinds.
Oh, well, I think you
have flowing, great Gatsby, like white shears flowing in the
greens. They're harder to clean. Or a mirror, you know, when you clean a mirror, how the image becomes very clear. It's like that. The breath does that for us.
And I was thinking dogs or any animal, they don't know the words.
They know the feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the tone or whatever.
Well, even more than that, like if anyone watches the dog whisper, it's all about the energy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no words. It's just body and energy. And I think everyone should watch that, by the way, because it's great training for life. Because there are just some people that we have to control, and that's one way we can do it. And also ourselves, you know, we can get confidence. I like the calm assertive. That's his motto. Calm assertive. Think about it. Not aggressive assertive, calm assertive.
Whose motto?
Cesar Millan. You don't know Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer? Oh my God, where have you been, Diane? No, he's this great dog trainer. He gives all these tips, and his whole show is like in an hour he deals with like four dogs or something, and they're like worst case scenario. He can't help the owners get control of the animals. They're going to give them away, put them down, whatever. And they're the craziest things you've ever seen. They do the stupidest things these dogs do, but it's always because the dog does not know who is the alpha,
right.
Who's the boss, and if the dog's in control and the people are afraid of it or, you know, nervous or upset. And it is just like life, you know?
So Friday night, National Geographic,
if you get National,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, we love it. We got the DVDs and the whatever. I mean, it's like, you know, and then it has the one is like how to be the
Pack
later. Mm-hmm. So if you're in management, get that one.
And the Chinese have a proverb, sweep your own steps or your own porch and the whole world will be clean. I find that wonderful, just to sweep the porch or the sidewalk and then immediately I feel so good.
Isn't it true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And they do that every day.
I stood up and did something
right. Yeah, that's right. And they do that. I mean, I will say that for having lived in India with the Tibetans, that's the first thing they do is sweep the house out every day.
And this is next to godliness.
That's right. And then they also...
Water is heaven's first law.
They do it kind of in a certain way, and they sort of turn and kind of sweep it out a certain way, like they're sort of really setting the clock, so to speak.
They always go the way, if it's in the morning, they would go sunrise, I mean east.
Sunset, yeah. Wow. Sunrise. Rashida Berry used to teach us that too. Do you remember that? She always said, before you enter the house, she was my first initiator and guide on the Sufi path, that you should turn, before you go in the house to clear the day, you turn counterclockwise 3 times.
I have to write that down.
Counterclockwise 3 times. And she would say to people, if your children are really upset and they're like having a temper tantrum and you can't control them, pick them up and turn counterclockwise 3 times. Or if you're having an argument with someone, do that.
That's ending the day? Usually. Maybe that's why dogs do it, but they sit down.
Think about it.
Cats do it too. They go around.
Round and round.
Awesome.
And then plop.
And then how do you figure out just counterclockwise?
Well,
right away from the clock.
Yeah, you're like the center of it. You go towards your left shoulder.
You know,
it's like the dervish
hands,
turn.
Go that way. The hand would go that way. The counter's the other way.
I can imagine.
You
I'm
turn turn this way. To
I
the
can
left.
Imagine
go
a
that
clock
way.
When I'm on my doorstep when there isn't any clock there.
Turn towards the left. Yeah. Yeah.
Stephanie, I was reading a show last night, and it was talking about Rasputin, how he would control the Tsar and Tsarina in Russia before Lenin. And Osho was saying that's incorrect, but he told how he did, how Rasputin did it by just bringing all the energy in to the third eye, and then focusing exactly his intent on who they were, his puppets.
He was kind of black magic coming there, and he didn't come to a good end. So.
So we really don't want to use him as an example.
We never want to influence anyone at all. We just want to master ourselves. Only we control ourselves.
Yeah,
that's true. We want to become masters of ourselves, and then from that point, we may, you know, offer benefit to others. And I really like that image of the light tower. Can anyone, can you hear that? Isn't that like a beautiful image?
It is great. Yes.
And we're solar powered. And we're solar powered from the divine source. I know, it's my new metaphor. I was sharing that with other people in Australia, and they're like, we really like that. That's like a great metaphor. So I'm spreading the word. This is my new.
I was at a funeral yesterday where that was the lady's symbol kind of. We have an altar about the person's life. They had lighthouses. She grew up and tested peak page. She always felt
so
like she was
knew.
A...
Yeah.
And she was Catholic, but she was everything else too. And she got a degree in theology from somewhere. It was a neat funeral. The kids gave these great eulogies. The music was wonderful.
Oh, my God. It sounds like it.
And I like... These days, people aren't having, the person up there. I mean, people are cremated already and they celebrate their life.
Yeah, exactly. Well, also at this meditation camp, we had someone present on, they're doing these workshops on death and dying. And, I loved what he said. He's like, I'm not so interested in life after death. I'm interested in life before death. Okay. Please, let's just deal with what's the matter at hand. But he's an entrepreneur, and he had made his first, they lived in Hawaii, and he used to make these fruit juices and sell them, and it got big, and it went into manufacturing, and then he sold it. And he made lots of money. And so he has these, very good ideas that he puts into effect. So he's decided he's going to be a funeral director. So he went and he applied. I guess in every state it's different. He went and applied for to be a funeral director so that people that want to have a non-traditional kind of service can have it. And he's done all this research about you don't need the big, metal caskets because those are really bad to the environment. All that metal is getting leached into the groundwater and contaminating, and then we're drinking it. It's bad. The embalming fluid, really bad. The body, explodes, implodes, then again, that's the gases are the reason why they're in the concrete in the ground is because they explode. And if they didn't, lids would blow off and up. It's just the most horrendous stuff that he found out. But anyway, so he's like, now you can buy my cardboard box online. And he's really into forming these places that are like green cemeteries. So that they'll be more like just natural, the bodies will disintegrate and go naturally back into the earth as it was intended, and there'll be beautiful groves and contemplative spaces for families to gather, and so it's really pretty ingenious, and I think he's going to probably make his second bazillion off of it, too.
I don't know where I read, but all these things have been a real bad pollution for human beings.
They are.
I think in New York City, almost.
Exactly.
And so it's going to change gradually, and it's part of the whole plan, spiritual plan.
It
universe,
is. And so he was giving information about, websites for, living wills and kind of decreeing what you want after that. But anyway, it's kind of an ingenious thing, and it's a good thing. So, We've been talking all about the breath, and have you been breathing? Have you been paying attention to your breath? Have you been going back to your word? Or words?
Mention real quickly, in your metaphor of the light, the book, The Alchemist, Paulo Coelho's book, he has a companion to it called Warrior of the Light, which is really interesting, and it's very much about centering, you know, yourself, is what you were saying. You have to become a light unto yourself before you can
right.
go out into the world and do that for others, and so it's really, it's a very interesting read.
What's his name?
Paulo Coelho.
Okay.
He has a lot of books. The Alchemist is a great parable. It's really...
Is it C-U-E-H-L-O or something?
C-O-E-H-L-O, I think.
Okay.
Is how it's, something like that. But, and then, yeah, The Warrior of the Light is sort of a companion piece to that. It's he calls it a manual.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it's really interesting. It has very short reads about exactly that. Becoming a, you know, a warrior of the light. To yourself and how, you know, the self what's the word? Patience or the self you know, getting that to a place where then you can do that for others. It's very interesting.
It's not only interesting, it's
true.
Really true.
Yes.
Yeah. Here we go. A thought is better conveyed to another through breath than by speech, for a feeling put into words becomes half dead. Feeling, in its own sphere, is fully living, and when conveyed from there through the breath, it reaches the mind to which it is sent. Feeling in its own sphere is fully living, and when conveyed from there through the breath, it reaches the mind to which it is sent. When a person has not developed his mind by concentration and tries to send his thought by breath, he is not always successful. He's like a person trying to hit the target without ever having practiced in his life. It is practice which makes man perfect. Leo?
Three times. That's counterclockwise.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for the demonstration.
Just
it'd take them a while.
Walk.
With those feet.
Shall we do some breath work? Anything anybody would like to review from the past months on breath?
I couldn't be dishonest and not say, yeah. Which metal is the tip of the nose? I mean, which element?
So your elemental breaths. Shall we do those?
Yeah.
Because those are really good. I mean, that is the practice that has been assigned to every student on this path, and it is to be done every day. And because we know we are made up of these elements, right? We're made up of the elemental world. We've seen the elemental chart in science class. You know, we have those elements of the environment within our body. And also, if we're very aware of the atmosphere, we can start to feel things differently. So I think about how it's a blessing that we have air conditioning, but the fact is we get very disconnected, because in most of the world, Of course, that's changing too a lot. But it used to be in the heat of the day, they'd take a 4-hour break. Can you imagine? No. Some of us don't even get to take lunch. Some of us, our bladders are getting tested because we don't even get up to pee when we should when we're at work. So, you know, I mean, we've lost this natural rhythm that the elements and the seasons have given us. You know, we're really out of contact. And so these breaths help tune us to the elements, and we start to become aware. You know, like today, it was quite sunny, but it looks like nature's starting to get a little more quiet. It's getting not quite so sunny, starting to cloud over a little bit. And also this time of the afternoons when people start to get a little tired, the biorhythms start to go down. Maybe it's been since noon since we've eaten, so blood sugar's starting to go down. But we start to get in touch with the rhythm of our environment. And so we do these breaths that have the corresponding elements of earth here on the bottom. That's the ground. And water's the next element. Think about it. It's the one earth we can actually pick up, we can grab, we can feel it, we stand on it. Water is the next element. It has substance of sorts. We can put it in a container and hold it. It has weight and mass. Fire is the next element. And that element, we can't really contain it. You know, I mean, if we do, we have to ventilate it properly. Without oxygen, it would go out, which is the next element, air. And then the final element is just space, where all the elements exist together. And it's kind of important to understand this elemental, these steps. I was even noticing, again, at this meditation camp, there was a friend of ours that had come that's very connected in the Hindu path. And she does a morning ceremony, to welcome the light of the day. And I went specifically after one of her services, because she was doing that when I was also teaching, so I never got a chance to participate, but feel very connected and really honor her spiritual path. And I looked at her little stove or oven, and they're stair-stepped in that way. They have these various steps that move up, and they represent the elementals. And what that is the elements of the sort of rising, you know. And so they're this whole little, I'm calling it an oven, but it's another thing. I don't know what the term is. It's made out of metal, and it's just not coming to my mind. And it has these stair steps it's sort of conical in its shape, but it has four sides like a square, but then it steps up. And then you make your burnt offerings there. And then the smoke rises up and offers the prayers. And then it's kind of like the sand mandala, you know, that's offered too, that it's offered into the water. But then it goes up into the clouds rain, the rain falls to the earth, nourishes the earth, turns into water, then, through the element of fire, rises again. So it's this cycle. So this breath is connected in that way because it teaches us about the cycles, and it teaches about the elements, and it teaches us to work with the corresponding elements in our body. There are emotional states that are associated with the elements. There are colors. There are concentration points. What else? I've just told this story before, but I'll tell it again. Again, Rashida Vera had told me at one point I had had a sizable lump in my breast, which was rather suspicious. And, often they'll needle biopsy something like that. And in my instance, they decided not to because it was that suspicious that they didn't wish to open it and perhaps pull cells through the body. So Murchita Vera had advised me, she said, would you ask your doctor how long you have till the surgery is imperative? And she said, could you have a month to work with practice. And so I asked, and they said, you know, it's not changing that rapidly, so yeah, you can have a month. And she said, and this was the singular practice that she gave me to work with. Really were others, but this was real important, in that she said, if you do not find out where the disease started, it will for sure come back. And she said, when it manifests in the body, it is the most gross manifestation of another, inharmony that has come from somewhere else. So you need to work with these breaths, and you need to sort of move to the different levels. That's why I kind of said these have these different levels and properties, and find out where the disease started. And so, for example, the earth element is the body, but the water element is the emotions. Think about it, people crying all the time, or, you know, whatever. The fire element are these, the passionate states. So they're the things that may be like even a lust, greed, attachment, aversion, sexuality. I mean, you know, those can be passionate states which can have a light side and a dark side to it. And so we need to transform those, and fire is the element of transformation and purification. Think of that. And then the air element is, ever heard the expression airhead? It's the mind, it's like the thinking realm. It's the realm through which ideas come. You know, when people are really in a sort of that state of, so they may even be spacey, but a lot of times inspiration comes there, ideas. And then, of course, the etheric element is just space where everything really in some ways begins, its journey, its descent. So her idea was to go into those different levels and to sort of figure out what level of my being first came into disharmony and the disease started there. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Now, to a Sufi or a mystic or someone on this path, they would say, and not only they, science has proven this, can you tell me, do you know how long it takes for the body, the cells of the body, to be completely regenerated? Diane, you probably know this. They're different. The different organs regenerate at a different amount of time, but do you know that? I mean, it's not the same heart you were born with. The cells are sloughed off and new cells are created, right? You know that?
Every 7 seconds or every 7 years? I mean, anything that...
There's a cycle. But, I mean, like the liver, for example, is like in a certain amount of months. We have a completely new liver. Kidneys, and so on and so forth. So for someone to say, oh, I have a weak whatever, is kind of a silly thing. Because that, whatever that is going to be new. But what keeps it... I'm pointing here, but it's here. The thinking. The mind.
So how did you work with those? Just do the breaths?
The breaths. And then I kind of would... I could kind of feel where maybe there was... For me, because it was interesting, it was like a kind of thickening or a murkiness in that element for me. And then I kind of meditated on it, kind of like we did with our fishing buddy. For my new, another new metaphor. And kind of asked what it had come from. And then kind of worked with that. So, you see, in some ways, if one has had something in their disharmony, it may be possible to heal it in that way. I also asked a friend who was doing scientific research at a company called Chiron in Berkeley, California, and they were doing research at that time in concert with a company from France on the AIDS vaccine. And I asked him, is it possible that one could have cancer in their body and if without any intervention in time the body would just repair itself and it would come into balance? And he said, absolutely. That's part of the problem, is there's too much intervention too early, and if the body was left to its own devices, it might come into balance. think about that. So there's all of that that's going on, and part of the reason we do the practices is to, again, bring ourselves into balance and offer that balance and well-being to others. There goes the telepathy or the thought reading. That's where the connection is. So, other questions?
What
happened was the lump was quite big, and it was like a lump on a lump. So they really were rather insistent about removing it. And I called the surgeon the night before the surgery, and I said, I don't want to have a general. I want to be awake. And he's like, and then I have another friend in Florida that was a surgeon, and I called her, and it's like, what would you recommend based on what you know of this? She goes, it's really pretty deep. I don't know if they're going to let you be awake. I'm not sure I'd want to be. And I said, I really want to be. I don't want to be asleep. And so, I mean, I wanted to sort of be conscious. So I called the surgeon at home, and I said, I want you to change the orders. I just want a local. You can give me something to relax me, but I want to be awake. And I don't want anybody making decisions for me. And, you know.
Hello.
And I said, and what's more, I want music in the surgical room. And he's like, well, we don't really have anything to play it on. And I said, I'll bring my own boombox. And he said, okay. So I don't know if you know Carlos Nakai's flute music. Does
mm-hmm.
anyone know his?
Sure.
I thought, what? Oh, and it's the elements, you know, think about it, and the breath in the instrument. So they wheeled me, and I had my big boombox on my stomach. And the anesthesiologist took it, and he plugged it in, and they started playing the music. And it was a wild deal. I mean, I don't know. You probably don't know what goes on, but it was like being crucified, man. They put these things out, strapped me down. I'm thinking, whoa, I'm like Jesus Christ here. You know, and I could hear them, and then it was like, you know, and every once in a while I mean, I don't remember feeling it, but I must have, because I can remember going, ow, that hurts. Oh, time for another local, you know. And they got the whole growth out, and it was completely benign at that point. So.
Oh, really?
But I hadn't made it disappear yet. I didn't have that long to work with it, but it was still there. And they all loved the music. I might have started a trend there. They were thinking they would like to have music. And, you know, I mean, what a great thing. They said it changed the whole atmosphere. It made it so peaceful in here, you know. So
it humanizes the situation.
It does, and you've got to ask for what you want. So, and you've got to ask for what other people need that you care about. Just another... These teachings have done it for me. They've given me so much. I can say this also. My mother was in like a 6-hour surgery, and I had hired someone that I knew did kind of therapeutic touch, and I had that person with my mother before she went into the operating room, and especially when she came out, to help pull the toxins of that being under for so long through her system. And, you know, they came out, and it's like, well, if your mother survives the surgery, this is going to be a huge recovery process. She'll be in ICU 7 to 10 days. She was in there a day and a half, and I begged them to keep her the second night. It's like, I need another good night's sleep. I mean, I begged them. Within a week, she was eating solid food. She wasn't supposed to even be on liquids at that point. And within the next week, I had her walking a mile. They said she was going to be on a month to 6-week recovery. So, you know, never say never. That's about attitude, and it's about believing negative impressions that are projected at you. And we had a picture of Mom, and we kept saying, this is who you're talking about. She's not going to do that. We don't believe it. No, she's going to survive, and she's going to be fine, you know, and she was. But if you let that stuff come in, you know, well, you can believe that and become that too. So...
We're very used to living in fear in this society. It's all about fear. If you don't take this pill, this and this is going to happen. If you don't do this, da 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 da, that's going to
commerce.
Happen.
It's
and
for money.
Instead of that, if you believe in the light and the flow of the Tao,
the drug industry,
then you're perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Because you manifest it.
So we are what we think, and we have to think what we want to be. Right? Joe?
Or maybe we are what we breathe.
We are also what we breathe. So we start and we'll sit. Now I'm going to give you points of concentration. One will be the tip of the nose for earth. One will be the bridge of the nose for water. One will be the center of the forehead for fire. The top of the head for air. And about an arm's length above for the etheric element or the space element. Now we do this because the yogis knew this long time ago. Now we again have scientific evidence that there's this nerve that runs up from the base of the spine. And there's some very key things that happen when it reaches the head and comes up over the head. There is a current of energy that rises from the base of the spine up, and it touches these key places in the head. And they have to do with states of awareness. The current of energy eventually makes its flow back downward, and it resides here in the abdomen, which is also key if you think about it. We have all those sayings like, oh God, I just feel like it's going to hit me in my stomach, or you know what I mean? Or sometimes when people are upset, that's where they feel it. But that's, in the yogic tradition, is the seat, the true seat. It's the deep heart. It's the seat of all knowledge. They call it the seat of intuition. So the current ultimately makes that complete circuit and kind of resides there. And, you know, it's like, again, like a radiant sun. It's like the lighthouse. But it is like the deep heart. It's not this fluttering, you know, heart. It's like the deep root of the heart. Give the mind something to do. There are also associated colors and there are directions. So as you're breathing, imagine your breath moving in those different directions. And I will talk about the qualities of the elements. So again, the points, I was speaking of that we're keen in on the head are almost, you might think, you know, if you've done acupuncture, you know that they put these needles sort of here. Has anyone done that? Mm-hmm. They put them here. They put them here and they put them here. Isn't it true? Mm-hmm. Because they're nerve endings. There's a current that's running through. They're meridians. But those meridians are even more subtle. You know, they're sort of a subtle spiritual dimension, etheric dimension. Thank you. So Diane, since you're taking notes, and I'll put it, it'll be here on the recorder. So, for example, the earth element being at the nose, if we are wanting to manifest something in the earthly dimension, we concentrate on a word, be any word, but it can be a word that you know you need to manifest by breathing at the tip of the nose. If we need something to move, be in motion in life, if we're stuck in some way and we need the motion of water, sort of the increasing, you know, like the rushing of the water, something to increase and move in our lives, we concentrate the word here. Does that make sense? At the bridge of the nose, because that's the water element. If we need something to be energized or enlivened in our lives, I think of this also as a kind of inspiration, illumination. We need something illuminated. We concentrate our word and our breath here. The breath, the awareness goes here. Concentration goes here. If we need, like, divine wisdom, you know, then the breath, or that connection with the union, the breath goes to the crown. And we concentrate there. And then sort of this wholeness or unity, the breath is up here. Transpersonal consciousness, you might say. Or trying to bring that or feel that. That's where we concentrate. So they can be done as a sequence, which we're going to do now, or they can be done in isolation. Okay, so we're sitting comfortably. And the eyes are closed in this practice. Not all practices are done with the eyes closed, but in this one, the eyes are closed, so feel comfortable, but the spine should be fairly straight. So you can feel that current going up the spine. That's why we want our spine straight. So the first breath is at the tip of the nose. And you know, a lot of times we've been doing this in a rhythmic pattern, but I think I'm going to start counting and then I'm going to let it go because I think we're concentrated enough that we'll come like metronomes. We'll start to come into the same rhythm with each other. So I'll count just at first, but then through the rest of the elements I'm not going to count. We'll just sort of have that internal count. And again, if we turn to the atmosphere of each other, we'll come into that balance, I believe, on our own. So the first breath is the element of earth. With eyes closed, we feel sort of the glance of our eyes go toward the tip of the nose. So you're really, that there is this descent. If you do that, you'll feel something happen in your head and in your body. So eyes are, with eyes closed, but eyes as if they're looking at the tip of the nose. And there we imagine this luminous golden color. It can be like the actual metal of gold, or can be like beautiful, you know, like you've seen those beautiful images in the Gobi Desert or the Sahara, where the sand is kind of golden color, the light shining on it just a certain way. So eyes cast downward, there we're seeing this beautiful golden light, radiant light, warming light. And we start to breathe in the nose and out the nose. And we imagine the breath being drawn in on a horizontal line. And when we breathe out, we're breathing out on a horizontal line. So the motion is spreading in a horizontal direction. See if you can feel that. So there's a lot of things to do. Eyes cast downward to the tip of the nose. The color we're visualizing is gold. The breath is in the nose and out the nose, spreading in a horizontal direction. I'm not even going to count. Feels like we just need to do the breath and let yourself feel that. Continue with the concentration. I'll say a few words about the earth element. The earth element offers us stability. It is our ground. And qualities of the earth element, think about it, this broad base, this horizontal line spreading out. It offers us stability. It offers us courage. It offers us confidence. It helps us bring in the qualities that we need and manifest them in the earth plane, the most physical dimension of the elements. And this element corresponds to our bones, the kind of armature of our body. also feel that strength and that stability like a mountain, like sitting like a mountain. The head is the peak and our buttocks are the base. And we're sitting there very proud and very stable and very strong, very confident. Breathing in the nose and out the nose. Eyes cast downwards with eyes closed towards the tip of the nose. When we need to be stable, if we're excited, we can do this breath and calm ourselves, ground ourselves, give ourselves a strong base from which to operate. The next element is the element of water. We have a lot of good sound effects in the room. This movement of water. And we cast our glance towards the bridge of our nose. And there we see the most beautiful color of kind of aqua green. Radiant light there shining. We see it and we visualize it if we don't see it. And our eyes are cast towards the bridge of the nose. Feel. Notice if you sort of feel a shift in sensation in your head or in your body by concentrating at that point. The breath is in the nose and out, just a very natural opening in the mouth. So it's like breathing in and the water flows down, out the mouth. Obviously, this has a downward movement because we're taking the breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. And water in its sense of our body is like the blood and the lymphatic fluids that move through our body, nourishing and oxygenating our body. Think of that. So things are in motion and reaching all the different parts of the system through our vascular system. But water teaches us really some profound lessons in life. Because water has the property to move along a course very easily. And if there's an obstacle in the way, it just moves around it and continues its onward journey. So though an obstacle, like a big boulder in the riverbed, changes the course of the water, it doesn't stop the water. And like that, obstacles or perceived obstacles in our life may change the course of our life, but if we reflect on that, a lot of times that was a change that needed to be made. And so we embrace this water element, which helps to somehow calm the emotions, bring them into balance, and send us on our onward journey. So continue with that element, but I'm going to go back for a moment and just speak about earth. If you have the tendency to feel like you're plodding along, or you're feeling depressed, you probably don't want to do the earth breath. The earth breath is for stability and grounding. But you may want to do the water breath, in through the nose, out through the mouth, concentration on aqua green, bridge of the nose, to move yourself from that emotional state forward into your next step. Through the nose and out through the mouth. The breath should be balanced in their dimension and in their count. Just let them be balanced. Water element is good for moving us forward, but if we're having the tendency of being wishy-washy, I think it's so interesting how we have these vernacular terms, or if we're too watery, if we're having the tendency to want to cry a lot, you know, well, water element isn't where we want to be, and maybe it's where we're stuck, but we want to move on. We either need to ground it by moving to the element below, or we need to maybe excite ourselves a little bit, sort of snap ourselves out of it, in which case we would move to the next sequence in elements, which is fire. There, we are rising on the elemental scale. We concentrate at the center of the forehead. Eyes are as if they're looking sort of at the inside of your head, concentrating awareness at the center of the forehead. The breath for the fire is in through the mouth and out through the nose. The motion now is ascending. Water was descending. This is ascending. And you know that's true of fire. It rises, it rises, it dances. It reaches up. And that's the element, that's the quality we're invoking. So we're energizing our bodies. We're enlivening our states of mind. We're breathing in through the mouth and out through the nose. Motion rising. Concentration at the center of the forehead. The colors red, by the way, if I didn't mention that, are varying shades of red.
Where is the forehead? Are you talking about right here?
The center of the forehead.
Okay.
Yeah, not on the brow, up.
Okay.
Center of the forehead. The breath again is in through the mouth, out through the nose. Again, see if you feel a shift in sensations in your body or your head. Note them. Don't analyze them. Just pay attention. Be awake to them. If one's quick to anger or excitable, the fire element is probably, well, in one sense, sometimes I assign the fire element because I think people need to learn to be fire handlers, so to speak. But in another sense, then there maybe needs to be a balancing element with it. Sometimes it's moving down the elemental scale to ground that energy. Obviously, to move up and to give fire air would only excite it all the more. So you have to understand these elements But right now we're concentrating at the center of the forehead. The breath is in the mouth, out the nose. The color is red. We're energizing the body, but the element of fire also transforms. We use it to purify things. We burn our fields so they can become fertile. So also, if there's some aspect of the dross of the being that needs to be transmuted, like mercury being transmuted into gold by the test of the fire, we can offer ourselves into that fire for transmutation and transformation, to burn off the scaffolding of the personality so the luminous quality of our soul or consciousness can radiate forth. Fire can help with that. Mouth and out the nose, the breath is rising. The next breath is the breath of air. And here we concentrate at the top of our head, the crown. The breath is in the mouth and out the mouth. And I often like to think of the whole body as breathing this breath, that we're absorbing the breath through the... I even visualize myself like a screen door. I'll share that with you. It may or may not work for you, but as if the breath is moving through my entire being, the air element, in the mouth and out the mouth. The assigned motion for air is a zigzag, and sometimes the visualization given is like a leaf caught in the wind, and you know, it just sort of moves hither and dither. In the mouth and out the mouth, concentration at the crown, and there we see the color of blue, radiant blue like the sky. And we get this sense of great spaciousness. So if you're feeling confined, go to the air element. If you're needing inspiration, go to the air element. If you're needing a new solution to an old problem, go to the air element. We again use these phrases like, I need a little space. Well, that's the air element. Or even some people say, I need air. They feel suffocated. Go to the air element. In the mouth and out the mouth. Use the elements. They're there for us. The breath is just flowing in and out the mouth. Feel the difference. Eyes are as if they're looking the inside of the top of your head. See if you notice any particular movement or sensation. last and final breath, a few words of air if you feel confused or that you need grounding, you're spacey. Again, that's an indication that the air element could be out of balance. You'll want to ground it. Maybe the earth element is a good thing to go to. So these elements can be used in medicinal ways, so to speak. So the final element is the etheric element. It's just like pure space. It's that void that we read about in Sri Aurobindo's writings at the beginning. This great spaciousness. The visualization that's frequently given is to imagine above your head, about an arm's length, an orb of light. It's white light, but at the same time, it has these qualities like a rainbow. So all the colors are sort of dancing, commingling, but the dominant sort of impression is this white light. And we concentrate by looking up through the top of the head at this area above our head. We may have an experience of the descent of light from even above this orb. But at any rate, we notice this orb of light radiant. And the breath now is again, we're making a full cycle. It's in the nose and it's out the nose. The breath is full, but it's also very refined. It may become very subtle, and you may notice that the breath, there's maybe not even as much of a need to breathe. There may be long spaces in the breath. And as we breathe, we feel this cascading of light from this point above the head, which flows down over our body, and we absorb that light into our bodies. You know, it's like the making of the lighthouse. My word is lighthouse. Traditional practices allowing the light to cascade down and through the body. Subtle, very refined. This is the breath of the great meditator, the yogis. Rishi Devira used to call it the baby breath. A baby in very sound sleep. Just that very precious, refined breath. Very relaxed, yet very awake in this instance. This element is very still. There isn't a lot of motion here. It's almost the analogy might be like that sense of weightlessness in space. Very slow. So for the benefit of coming out of this practice, which I don't usually do, but I am for this session, and because now we're going to be concluding, I'm going to talk us back down through the elements so that we're very grounded when we come out of the breath practice. So we're going to descend now through the air element. For just a few moments, the breath moves in and out the mouth. The concentration is at the top of the head. Thank you. realm of mind, the great inventors, thinkers, creative artists exist in this realm. They seem to pull ideas out of the air. We're moving down to the center of the forehead, the fire element. Color is red. The breath is in the mouth and out the nose, a rising motion. But those great ideas need to be infused with energy and passion. You see how this works? You bring that down from the stillness of the etheric element. We're sitting in equipoise, the place of all potentiality, the place of all new beginnings. And then we bring it down to the air element. Infuse it with inspiration and insight. And we bring it to the fire element. We infuse it with passion and energy. Breath here now. We're at the fire element, in the mouth, out the nose. And a good idea is only a good idea if we can, but if we can't bring it into action, then it's also just going to remain a good idea, full of energy, but no manifestation. So we need the water element. The water element is in through the nose, out through the mouth, descending, giving accomplishment to this great idea, this great inspiration. It's infused with energy now, and we give it accomplishment through the water breath. In the nose, out the mouth. In the nose, out the mouth. And final element is the earth element. The breath is in the nose and out the nose. And again, bringing these ideas from the great void into the mind realm, into our passions, to infuse them with energy, into the realm of accomplishment, to increase them and to send them on their way. But ultimately, they manifest in the earth. The breath is in the nose and out the nose, spreading in a horizontal direction, giving great confidence and courage to move forward with these vision and ideas, these passions, knowledge. With offering whatever benefit may have been created here today by our coming together and our aspirations, our prayers, our meditations. And if we offer them to all beings, and we offer them to all beings who do not have the great good fortune of having these moments of companionship, to sit still, to be calm, to learn these things. We send the good merits so that that vibration, those qualities may be absorbed and benefited for all. Any questions? Did it make sense? Yeah. Diane, did you get it?
Well, I'm not sure about. We breathe in the nose and out the nose for the tip of the nose.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I had written the forehead was fire, but that's not true. Then.
Yeah, forehead is fire.
Okay, so then
this is water.
Water is here.
Fire.
And the bridge of the nose is water too.
This is the bridge of the nose. We consider
oh,
this
okay,
the bridge of the nose. Tip of the nose, bridge of the nose,
yeah.
Forehead.
Thank you.
So did you see how the elements, though, can connect with things, like real things, tangible things in our life?
Yes.
And how we can use the elements. Yeah.
Totally one.
But we can use those to assist us on our path.
I had a lot of watery eyes, so I must need some grounding and or some fire.
Well, people are reporting watery eyes these days. I've had 3 people now say this to me. And so it could be an allergen, I'm not sure. But sometimes, I know Wally Ali has said sometimes spiritual states are accompanied by certain manifestations in the body.
And that was just today, I mean, not otherwise.
Yeah.
No
right
wonder
now.
With all the chemicals they spray and this and
yeah.
this.
But
you
it
know,
could be
water
a,
that we drink and shower.
A purification.
I
have.
Yeah.
And
it
maybe
mean,
clearing
course.
Away the vision, there might be a metaphor there.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, when you're doing all 5, is it if you feel like one you particularly need, can you stay on that one, or should they be in balance, all 5?
My recommendation to those that I've given the practice to is that personally I feel that the etheric element should be left aside in the morning, that you should not do it, because sometimes that can make people too away from the world. It's very good for meditation. If you have an opportunity on the weekend or now in the summers, we do. We can use that practice as a meditative, to bring ourselves into a meditative state. But if one's doing it as part of a morning practice before work, I'm not so sure about using that element. It might draw someone too far away and then they don't want to go to work or whatever. So do you know what I mean? Like, oh, I feel so good. I don't think I'll call in sick today. I'm taking a wellness day, not a sick day. So, but in the evening, I think it's very good to use that. And I also think that throughout the day, if you need one of the elements to invoke them and use the breath, just alone. But as a practice, they should pretty much be done together.
And like Saturday, we're ruled by Saturn, so that would be more Earth, and you know.
It's slow. Saturn's very slow.
Sluggish. Lethargic.
Yeah.
Saturn. I think that it would be wonderful to bring Jim Cramer to town, the Mad Money Man. He comes on CNBC, like your dog show. I'm a fan
oh,
of Jim Cramer.
Yeah.
Every day at 5, I
yeah.
drop everything and watch him from 5
Leo.
To 6. And he screeches and screams and is enthused about the stock market, what stock to buy or
right.
sell, and he's great. So universities are flying him, inviting him to go everywhere, whether
uh-huh.
it's Harvard or Florida or Indiana.
I don't know if we need a screecher and a screamer.
And so my idea, I didn't know whether to say, okay, send him a Father's Day card and say, I'll email him and say, when would you possibly consider coming to the heart of America to Kansas City?
Mm-hmm.
Give me 3 different dates. And then I will line up the different CEOs of the major publicly traded corporations and I will ask them why their company, give 3 reasons why Jim Cramer should consider their company. And then he sort of sways all the listeners to go forth and buy, or sell. And so I was thinking, okay, so then we ought to have when it does come to town, we ought to have a thing like you do for the CEOs and make it so worth their while that they drop everything to be where we tell them to be. And then they'll all be so intuitive. The way we would bring them in is because they're going to tune into the real truth and be much more aware. Because sometimes Jim Cramer can make a mistake. He will say, buy Cheesecake Factory a little soon. and then it doesn't work out, it goes down. So this way he would be much more in tune with the verites and the real truth, and also with the CEOs, and you could lead that. You know? That's why I'm saying that.
Well,
so,
while we're talking about finances, I am going to say that the class is absolutely free today. However, we do take donations because we have many public and non-public needs that we help, charitable organizations. So if you feel inclined, it doesn't come to us personally. We use it, we send it, we help refugees, we help sick people, poor people. So speaking of finance, I just wanted to give my public service announcement for our little donation basket. So we'll make sure we'll put it to good use. Promise, promise. But yeah, whatever
yeah,
happens, you know
I'm
there.
We have to think the very highest and best, the billionaire consciousness.
Well, we need to think that there's enough to go around because the whole world is split very disproportionately between the haves and the have-nots. And that's what we really need the corporations to think about.
Pigs.
Yeah. Yeah. Ah, so treats are available. Are they ready, Joe?
1 second.
1 second.
1 second.
1 second.
2 seconds.